Just a bit outside.
A bit outside of Haddonfield.
I suppose it is. I suppose lots of things are a bit outside of Haddonfield, including logic and reason.
And a fully staffed hospital.
Yes. And so, hello, my friend. Welcome to the Nexus.
Welcome. Yes, welcome back to the Nexus, and welcome to a term we haven't used now in a little while is welcome to all the Nexites out there.
Oh, the Nexites. Are they Nexcited to be in the Nexus?
I love it. Getting excited.
Get Nexcited. That's the t-shirt right there.
It is.
On the back, it says, Lilfert's Internet, Bluetooth, Meow Mix, but not.
I think it would have to stay on the precipice of excitement.
No, it doesn't say in that list of sponsors. Oh, really? You are really letting me down here right out of the chute. It doesn't say Fancy Feast.
Oh, okay. I didn't know I was
Because
supposed to fill in the blank there.
they know what they did.
They know
They
it.
know what
Those
they did.
bastards know what they did.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And okay, we want to just get it right out of the chute. Not Steve does not want to take the family friendly approach for two podcasts in a row.
I've
So
been discouraged from calling Fancy Feast names. Maybe
I
that's just
imagine,
how.
and I imagine that cease and desist order from them is coming any day now.
Yes.
So, that's truly where we are. That's truly where we are.
And
But
someone in.
you know who hasn't received a cease and desist order?
Who's that?
It's the makers of Halloween movies.
Especially that Mustafa Akkad.
Yes. They just seem to. Now, let me ask you this. Now, I was reflecting back, when we did our first Halloween podcast last year, I went and
It was
listened to those
two
guys.
years ago. It was two,
Was
2021, because I listened
it?
today.
Oh, wow. Okay. Was you introduced me to the podcast with the other guys who had reviewed all the movies? I can't remember
Oh,
who they were.
Unmasked.
Yeah, maybe so. And so I had gone and listened to that, and they were the ones who inspired me with the whole Dr. Loomis and evil approach. And they referenced Mustafa Akkad numerous, like too many times to count, across the breadth of their review of all of the Halloween movies. Was he affiliated with the very first one?
Yes, he was all the way up through, I think, H2O, maybe even Resurrection. He was killed in a terrorist attack in Jordan sometime in the 2000s.
Really? How about that? Okay. I did not know that. You learn something new every day. Okay. Well, that's
But
very sad.
him and Carpenter would be at odds sometimes about directions that should go. He admits mistakes in plot lines or decisions he made in some of the Halloween movies.
So, do we
But
want to go straight into it right now, or
yeah,
is that because that kind of feels like what we're doing, that we
let's
don't
go
have any
steps.
there's no introductory distraction like we so often
You
have
don't
here in
know what
our
introductory distraction is.
feel it's like some sort of like almost like I've received some sort of virtual slap and dressing down all of a sudden. I don't know what just happened here, folks. But I mean, I feel like I just coined the term introductory distraction, and now I'm being told I don't even know what my own term means.
So
I
of course
mean,
tonight, go ahead.
strange things are going on in the Nexus. That's all we can say.
Including a review of the 1981 movie Halloween 2. Notice the difference between when we reviewed the 1978 classic Halloween and now we're just reviewing Halloween 2.
Yes. And I mean, we could probably end the podcast right now. Just your
Yes.
comment there was probably enough for everybody to be satisfied with how we view Halloween 2.
Yeah, if you go back and listen to our first episode about Halloween, you can tell I'm not a fan of this movie. I've tried to be. I've watched it many times. I try to pick out the bright spots, and the more I watch it, the less I like it. And I think it's hard to really like a movie where the person who directed and produced the movie, John Carpenter, didn't like it himself.
Right. Right.
I used this quote about how, you know, he wrote this story for this movie and one night drinking a six pack. So there's not a lot of good stuff here, but let's kind of go through. I've got some pages of notes here that I'm quite proud of.
Well, before we get into your notes, because I know what your notes say, because I also have your notes, and you should be proud of them. By the way, I just want to, in spite of the hostility that I incurred earlier, I want to go out and I'm going to reach out an olive branch here to my co-host and say, when it comes to production notes, I would put him up against anybody out there. And the production notes that we have for this evening's podcast are exceptional. And I've come to expect no less. So hats off to you, my friend, on these. But having seen them, the reason I say this is that I do want to address one, like, overall general thing that wasn't in the notes. And maybe it could be associated with the very end when we're doing, like, final thoughts or something like that. But I will say, so I watched this last night, so it's very fresh for me. And there were some moments where I was genuinely tense as I was watching the film. And so I can at least say that I was not throughout it just thinking, this is so dumb. I can at least say that. Now, you may not be able to, and you may disagree with that, but there were moments when I felt a little, if not on the edge of my seat, at least not leaning back on the couch. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you agree with that? That there were some mildly scary moments, at least?
I don't know. This movie doesn't scare me in the right way.
Yeah, well, I can understand that too. But just the knowledge that at any moment he's going to be there and somebody's going to die.
There's one moment in particular, I'll get to that later, that I think is really well done.
Mm-hmm.
And then they immediately ruin it seconds yes. later.
Okay. Yep. All right. And I think I probably know what you're talking about, right? Without you giving any further description, but we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. So, so let's go into it then. You lead the charge here.
So we have a cold opening here, which means we have a scene before we get any credits, which is the last minutes of the original film from 1978 with a few changes.
Yes.
Now we're at, in the original movie, Michael is shot on the balcony and falls off the balcony at the back of the house. In this re-edited version, he's falling off the balcony in the front. He's also clearly walking backwards level with the top of the balcony as Loomis is shooting him.
You mean like the railing?
Yes, he's clearly just like walking up a ramp. And it's...
I didn't catch that.
Catch that. You won't be able to miss it.
So let me ask you this, though. Another question. In the first one, was there a balcony or was it just a window?
No, it was a balcony. It definitely was a balcony.
It was a balcony.
He
okay.
falls off the balcony, but the balcony is in the back of the house off the bedroom.
Right. Yes. I remember it being the back. Yes.
And this house, the Doyle house, didn't in the first movie, didn't have a balcony in the front.
Okay. Yep. All right. Yeah, you're right. It didn't. It didn't at all.
So that's just a little weird continuity thing there.
Yeah.
You know, I count in six shots. People argue that he shoots seven times.
Mm-hmm. I would not take issue with the number of shots fired.
Yeah. Not a big deal for me. You know, Loomis's reaction, he immediately goes down. So at the moment... Okay, I'll explain what happens and then go back to what I was going to say. So Loomis immediately goes down there, puts his hand on the ground, there's blood, and like a neighbor comes out and says, makes some comments. And then Loomis with the great line, "You don't know what death is." Cue the music, which immediately two things come to mind here. One is him simply going down and putting his hand in the blood and picking up that Myers is gone. That ruins the end of the original Halloween. Because we know he just falls off the balcony. We don't know if there's any blood or not. We just see an imprint in the ground. So now we've undone a great ending, which I don't love. Also, as soon as that music starts, and we talked about this in our episode 2 years ago with Halloween, is that to me, and it still does, this movie feels like it's 1981. It feels like we're in the 80s. It doesn't feel like the 70s anymore. And yet it's the same night, which will be something I'll keep coming back to, that like it's the same night, but it feels very different. Haddonfield is a much more a well-lit place in the sequel, at least in the streets, with a lot more people in the streets that were there previously.
Yet not in the hospital.
Right. Nobody's at the hospital. But there's people wandering all over the streets of Haddonfield. And
Which
just the
brings
hours.
me, there is something else. When we get to the hospital, remind me of the thing, just say this, and I, because I don't want to do it right now. Remind me of the thing that I feel like is very major that gets left unaddressed.
Okay. And I want to go back and say this in general about the Halloween movies. What I said was undoing the ending. So Halloween 2, basically Halloween's a history of completely undoing every quality ending it ever has. So Halloween 2 immediately undoes the end of Halloween, which is just Michael's the boogeyman is gone. We never know where he's going to be. That's what it's supposed to end. So then we have Halloween 4 ends with Jamie killing her stepmom. Completely undone in Halloween 5 and almost ignored that she killed her stepmom or tried to kill her. Halloween 5, terrible. Halloween 4, okay. We can review that one next year because there's some bright spots in that. Halloween 5 comes around, Revenge of Michael Myers, terrible movie. But at the end of that, Michael Myers is broken out of jail by a man in black. Who's never under explained who that is anyway. So by the time six comes around, that ending undone. The ending of six just doesn't make any sense anyway. It's not even worth addressing anything in Halloween six. Halloween H2O has the great ending of that she that Laura kills Michael Myers, which is immediately undone in the first 15 minutes. Of Halloween Resurrection explaining why that wasn't Michael Myers she killed. Then we get to Halloween 2018, great ending. Michael Myers is trapped in the basement. They set the house on fire. Michael's dead, completely undone by the beginning of Halloween Kills. Halloween Kills doesn't even wait to the next movie to completely undo its own ending, where the mob kills and attacks Michael Myers, who suddenly somehow gets back up and kills all them. So every time there seems to be a quality ending, even Halloween 2, we'll get to that at the end of this. This ending has been undone. So anyway, Loomis is now up to his he's really ratcheting it up with You Don't Know What Death Is. This movie seems to have a faster pace feel to it right away. That's one of the things I noticed. Let me talk about the part of the movie I do like. I like the way it starts with Michael in the alley. I like this. I think that that has a good feel to it. But, and I
The deep
especially like.
breathing, the looking at things through his eyes.
Right. He even looks down the alley and sees Loomis talking to the police car. I shot him six times.
He
That's
steps
great.
back into the shadows when the cops first pull up so that,
Right.
to avoid being seen.
Right. That's good stuff. So, but
But
then.
it starts to undo itself.
Right, and the radio reports going off, those are kind of cool. Yeah, then it immediately starts undoing itself with like the unnecessary murder of the old man and the did he kill the old woman? From the
Did he
version
kill the
of
old man?
I think he kills the old man, right?
No, I don't think he kills either one of them. The old man's asleep. He's snoring.
Huh.
Watching the TV. The old woman's making the sandwich, and she goes in there, and she's talking to him, and he's in there. And he actually, I think it's because I'm old now, so I watch most things with closed captioning. And it said, you know, snoring.
Okay, so really, so, the blood just came from the previous blood of him just taking the knife.
Right. Yes, because he had blood on him.
Okay, so she screams. Immediately, we're cut to a scene in the alley,
mm-hmm.
where a teenage woman runs out into the alley, a backyard, fairly mm-hmm. well lit, seemingly looking right in the direction of Michael Myers, just standing in her driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And she somehow can't see him.
Right.
And that just, that really, I mean, I know she's looking, there's no way she would miss him there.
Right. Right.
And I'm not sure what his motivation is to kill her.
I think it's just that she has the conversation on the phone with the friend that her parents are gone. And she's by herself in the house. And it seems like, for whatever reason, teenage girls talking about being by themselves in the house is a trigger for Michael.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that it's a bit of a reach. However, so this is a scene, and if this is not the scene you were talking about, then that's fine, but this is the same when you were talking earlier about a scene that they made that was kind of creepy and kind of cool, but then they immediately undid it. It's her murder.
You said so go ahead.
The teenage girl. So she's on the phone. She's got her back to the door. The door opens. Michael comes in and he ducks off into the side room.
Yeah, there's some good suspense here. This is a good moment here.
Yes. And so then she is, you know, she turns around, sees that the door is open. She's just heard the news because her friend says, you got to be listening to the radio. She turns around, the door is open. She starts moving in that direction. And he jumps out, which is great. But then the kill scene is terrible.
Yeah, and there's a weird shot of a close-up of his eyes.
Right.
That just... Yeah, it doesn't match.
It's almost like the professional cameraman who was doing the scene suddenly had a seizure or something, and they had to bring in his 6-year-old nephew to finish the shot.
Who had an addiction to Zoom.
Right.
And we see that a few times in this film, I feel like.
Yes, we do.
And I don't understand that. But that wasn't the scene I'm talking about. We'll get to the one I'm talking about. It's very close to the one I'm going to talk about later.
Okay.
I just thought that scene didn't make sense. I feel like there could have been more of the alley, more of him creeping around, more of him ducking.
Yes.
I thought even maybe, you know, is there a way that he stalks Loomis?
Yeah.
That would have been cool. Like,
right.
There's absolutely... There was a feel of cat and mouse in the original when we talked about the hedge, the clothesline.
Mm-hmm.
Laurie sees him several places, then he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's even after Annie, like it's like you see him, you don't. You see him, you don't. Where is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's none of that in this movie.
Right.
It's just like here he is. I mean, they all but make a little side split screen of a diagram of a hospital and a little red dot that says Michael is here.
Right.
I mean, you just always know where there's no suspense.
Right.
We've talked about this one. I had the question, is Haddonfield look the same? I feel like it didn't. I feel like the houses look different. The lighting was weird.
Mm-hmm.
It clearly was made with a different kind of film.
Yeah.
While the theme has been slightly upgraded and synthesized, the music that was ever present in the first one that really ratcheted up suspense and made you feel stress is just absent from this movie.
It is. It's just not there. I don't want to stereotype the music, but it seems too techno.
Yeah, it
too
really
synthesized,
does.
Too not enough of that lone piano note just banging it out with, I mean, yeah. It's just not there. And I agree with that. Yes, and you are correct. Haddonfield now feels a little less like a sleepy Illinois town. Illinois? It is Illinois,
Yeah,
right?
Illinois, yeah.
Yeah, Illinois town, and more like a a suburb of Chicago or something like that.
Yeah, or like Pasadena where it was filmed. It
Right.
just doesn't it doesn't feel, even though we saw things in the original that we knew it wasn't Haddonfield, at least it had some kind of feel to it. But I go back to, like, all of a sudden there's just there seems to be a lot of people out and about. They even make mention at one point in this movie that it's only 9:30.
Oh, so one thing that that really lends support to your saying this is supposed to be that same night in the 70s, but it feels 80s, is the dude walking around with the jam box
Right, yes.
on
I
his
thought that
shoulder.
I thought the same thing. That is
That's a
not something
totally 80s move.
right. That is not at all a move from 1978. I agree with that 100%. That
So.
that's one of those things that, like, tells me that, hey, we're in the 80s now. So yeah, so we talk about it doesn't feel the same. I feel like, did you see Halloween Kills?
I have not. I
So
have
one of the
not.
things that I really liked about both, and this won't ruin anything for you, but I really liked about Halloween 2018 and Halloween Kills both, especially in Kills, was the amount of time spent making scenes from 1978. So Halloween Kills says that this movie never happened. And it basically goes to the alleys and them hunting down Myers and finding him and arresting him.
Arresting him.
Arresting him. Which I thought was just really was a much better, and I left some stuff out there, in case when you see Kills. It's a much better way to continue the first movie than where this one, once it leaves the alley, like I said, once we go into the I Love Zoom, I really think that this it turns into something totally different. And then we get into the, they're looking for Michael Myers. They get in that scene where the kid is wearing the black overalls and the Michael Myers mask, which brings to the question, why is he wearing the exact same thing as Michael Myers? How was that even?
A thing, yes.
Yeah.
How does, why is that a costume that is available given that the whole thing just started a few hours before?
Right, and so Ben Tramer is mentioned in the first movie. We learned that, of course, we know as moviegoers that they're not going to kill Michael Myers in the first 10 minutes, so. We learned that it's Ben Tramer, a teenager that had a crush on Laurie Strode. So, yeah, and then some stuff goes on with the sheriff and some local media that goes nowhere. I do think.
So I do want to, before we just move past the Ben Tramer killing, I felt like that was awfully intense for the moment that it was supposed to be. So it's he's there, Loomis and that, at that point it's not Brackett anymore. It's the new guy, I guess his number two. What's his name?
I can't remember his name, but I actually liked him, and him and Loomis had a very good chemistry together.
Yes, I agree with that. But so they're kind of chasing him down the street in that limp chase, that sort of hobble chase that Loomis
Yeah.
does. And this guy veers out into the street, gets hit by the cop car. Okay, I can understand that. But
Then
gets pinned into the delivery
T-bones
truck,
into a truck that
which then
explodes.
explodes as though it
Yes.
was loaded with like TNT.
Yeah, that was
It was like, really? I mean, couldn't we just have run him over and him be dead?
it really escalated fast.
So I felt like, I mean, if you, I understand that you needed to like be able to check identification or whatever, but couldn't he just have been mangled enough from the impact that it was difficult to tell whether or not it was, Ben Tramer or Michael Myers? I mean, couldn't we
Right.
have done that instead of like.
I guess they would have stretched it out for time's sake, that they couldn't quite identify him yet, let us know that Loomis is irrational. All right, so now we get into the so now Michael's just freely roaming around Haddonfield at this point. Walking into downtown. Bumps. No one seems to think there's anything out of the ordinary. There's no, you know, at this point, Loomis has seen Michael Myers. There seems to be no APB out for this guy wearing this.
Right.
And of course, they're just freely letting everyone know, violating HIPAA rights, where Laurie Strode is for some reason.
Right. Right. Yes. Now, when they're having the conversation and the reporters are literally standing feet from them.
Right.
And they're not using any discretion whatsoever. The lady is literally standing there. You can see her in the shot with her microphone. And they're sitting there talking. And I get that part of it is Loomis being distraught, but the deputy is not really holding much back either. So yeah, that was a little bit much. Yeah, so you're right. All sorts of HIPAA rights being violated.
Yes.
But yeah.
So then I got a big problem with this literally Michael finds the hospital.
Yeah.
So he's walking down the street, he bumps into the kid with the boombox. So now we know we're in the '80s, like you said, which is a great point. And you know, they say where Laurie is. There's literally a sign at the end of the street of downtown Haddonfield. That says Haddonfield Memorial Hospital, and there's an arrow. Now, my problem with this is that that sign doesn't say – it would make more sense to me if it said maybe 2 miles or maybe 1 mile down the road. It's just an arrow pointing to the right, I think.
Yes.
Maybe it's to the left. It's just an arrow pointing, indicating that it's a very short distance away, right?
Right.
But based on everything we see about Haddon Memorial Hospital – is probably next to a cornfield, 25 miles outside of Haddonfield.
Right. Right.
Because based on the fact that once everyone's tires are flattened later in the film in the parking lot, there's just nowhere to run. But based on that sign, to me it implies, and even when the nurse is getting her car to go to work, that it's not that far away.
Yes. Right. And so, but another part of this, and this is moving ahead just a little bit, but not as far as the plot goes. The elementary school also seems to be way outside of where everything else
that's
is.
Right.
And it seems to me that that's not accurate, because wasn't it the elementary school where Michael, like, was lurking in the car in the first movie?
Yeah, yes.
Which was seemingly right in the center of things.
Well, actually, that's not – that classroom is not the elementary school, right? I thought that was the classroom where he was looking at Lori.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing the two. But anyway, regardless, it seems like all of the key places are really in the boonies.
There's some very – it's a very interesting geography in Haddonfield.
Mm-hmm. So, indeed. The city planners have some
very poor city planning in Haddonfield. The economic growth of Haddonfield in the late 70s and the GDP is.
Yeah. It's a bit much. So the sign, he's yes. Okay. So we've got him. He's headed toward the hospital.
Right. And this is where we start to meet new characters, such as Mr. Garrett, the security guard. There's Janet, Jimmy, Bud, Karen, Hunt, that was the police officer's name, Officer Hunt.
Yes, yes.
Mrs. Alves, which is the African-American nurse.
Yes.
We meet Jill and Dr. Mixter.
And is Jill the girl in the therapy room? Is that
No,
Jill?
That's Karen. Jill, okay. Jill is the blonde one who seems to be very sweet.
Yes.
And Janet is the younger one who just seems to be very ignorant of anything in her surroundings.
Right.
Including how to work a simple walkie-talkie. So, do we care about any of these new characters? And the answer is no, we don't.
So a couple things. Do you think that Mr. Garrett here, is this why Mrs. Garrett on Facts of Life is single?
I think this is her son.
He never came home? But, okay, so... couple of things here. So just a couple of observations about I don't yes most of these characters I care absolutely nothing about. I
They're
will
all
say
just very, very flat characters, except for Hunt, I think was I liked him. It was actually a pretty funny scene, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, where they're at the Myers house, and Hunt offers Loomis a cigarette, and he says yes. And he tries to light Loomis's cigarette at least 4 to 7 times. Did you notice this?
I did not.
And he just can't get it lit. He just hands him the lighter. It's really quite funny.
Huh. I did not notice that. I did not notice that at all. So I would add, okay, I liked Hunt. I was glad because, all right, so it's probably been a good while since I had last seen this movie before I watched it last night. I was glad that Mr. Garrett did not seem to be just an incompetent boob. He was actually taking his job seriously and not just waiting to, you know, watch porn or eat more pizza. You know, he seemed to be taking his job seriously. He investigated some things. And, you know, obviously he didn't last very long. We didn't get to know a lot about him. But I was glad they didn't make him just this incompetent, basically, night watchman.
Well, I would agree with that, and which is why I would agree that there should have been more of that cat and mouse here. Basically, he just goes out, he's killed. We see like just some footage, grainy footage of the outside. There is some suspense there in him trying to. He knows something's up. Like when he's looking at the dumpsters and stuff. That's kind of an interesting scene there. I think there's a cat.
Knocks him over, and then he notices all of these padlocks that have been, you know, jimmied or cut.
Right. And he's trying to talk to Janet, who can't work a simple walkie-talkie.
Yes.
Because apparently the dumpster is somewhere in rural Vietnam, as opposed to where Janet's location is inside the hospital.
And so of the list of characters that you gave there, most of them, yes, I don't care about them. I like Hunt. I would like to have known more about Mrs. Alves.
Yeah, she seems to have. I don't know if there's parts of the character she's obviously very. She was at the end of a rope with Karen, who was showing up late. Uh-huh. Karen is later the one will die via the hot tub, who is in a relationship with Bud.
Right, right.
But Mrs. Alves seems very
professional.
Very professional, right? Where
and
Karen
then suddenly
Karen is,
she's just
Karen's
not
a
in
horrible
the
nurse, by the way. Karen is horrible. Karen's the one that, you know, she's off trying to have relations in the hot tub where she's supposed to be watching the NIC unit.
Right. And okay, so this is where I wanted to get to. There were babies in that hospital.
Right.
Many babies, like at least 3.
Right.
Because Michael's standing there looking over them at Mrs. Alves and Karen having their conversation.
Right. And that is so stupid. There's only one brief shot where you can kind of see him moving in the background where those two are talking.
Right.
But most of that we get from his point of view from the NIC unit.
Right.
Which I don't know if that was supposed to make me feel uncomfortable.
But here's my question, though. More importantly, number one, where were the mothers of the babies?
Well, no, I have the same question. The mothers are going to be at the hospital somewhere, right? And also, there appear to be no other patients besides the babies and Laurie Strode.
Right. And the other question is anybody concerned about the babies ever after this point?
No, certainly Karen is not, because she's always worried about getting together with Bud.
But, I mean, Karen even makes the statement I've got before Bud finally convinces her to meet in the therapy room. She makes the statement, I've got to listen out for the babies. But then nobody else brings up the babies ever again.
True. But something we should go back and revisit, though, there's a scene where, in the beginning, where the child goes into the hospital with the razor blade from the apple.
Yes.
This is what caused that hysteria. And there's never been a single case of that being reported, like actually happening. Remember all the hysteria in the early 80s?
Yes.
This started with this.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's crazy.
And, you know, and for those young listeners out there, you know, our parents that one Halloween were convinced there was razor blades and needles and they would thoroughly check our candy. It was all over the news. Check your children's candy before you eat it.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's sickos out there putting needles and razor blades in them.
Well, and my parents would just chuck the apples immediately. They didn't even bother checking them. They just threw away.
And I think after that Halloween, no one gave out fruit again.
Right.
So it starts
off.
I like the way. So we're kind of backtracking a little bit, but when we first get to Haddonfield Memorial Hospital, we do see the mom taking her child in, and there does appear to be action there. But after that, and after they leave. You know, Laurie Strode's the only person who comes in. In fact, there's not even a doctor on staff. Dr. Mixter doesn't even come in later until he's tanked from being at the party with Laurie's parents.
Right. And he has one interaction with her.
And that's it.
And then he's gone. And then he's dead.
And what nationality is Mixter? What kind of last name is that? Because I don't recall meeting anyone last name Mixter.
It might be
Dutch. As
I was gonna say Finnish.
So the whole hospital has one doctor and four nurses, two paramedics.
Yes. Well,
that's
the
entire staff
I would
of
say,
the hospital.
I would make the argument that Janet is not a nurse. She's more like a candy striper or an orderly.
Yeah, she's not
like
a full-blown nurse. She's Janet is like the hospital. Janet is very dimly lit.
Right. Yes.
And again, in my notes I have here, what's up with Haddonfield Memorial Hospital? Middle of nowhere? Question mark. Where are the patients?
Yeah.
Again, where are they?
So there were only a couple of people that. I was, you know, even remotely bothered that they were killed. You know, obviously, I already said that, you know, Mr. Garrett, I felt like he was somewhat competent and it was a shame for him to die. Jill also seemed to be like a good quality potential nurse, and Mrs. Alves seemed to be professional. The rest of them, I couldn't care less.
Yeah, I do feel like Jill made a huge mistake by, like, she's outside and the tires are flat, and then she runs back into the hospital.
Yes, of course. But that is
after Jimmy's directions were very clear.
Yes. Yes, Jimmy, the last starfighter.
Who seems to have, there seems to be some kind, this is where the movie makes a weird choice. Why not make that character Ben Tramer? Right?
Yeah.
Why kill off Ben Tramer? Let's make Jimmy's character, that's who Ben Tramer is, right?
Yeah,
and then this makes
a
little bit more sense, like why this guy kind of has a thing for Lori and she might trust him.
Right, yeah. Instead of this random association that suddenly we're supposed to believe Lori, who has just gone through the most traumatic night of her life, is okay with being attracted to this guy who just basically offers to get her a Coke.
Right. Yeah. Would you like
and suddenly there's a budding romance.
Yes, over the Coca-Cola.
Right. So, yeah, I don't get that. I don't get that at all. So,
Miss Olives does not approve of Jimmy flirting with Lori at all.
No. No. She does not. But she seems to be a little less perturbed with him than she is with Karen.
Yes, she clearly
is. Karen, she does not like Karen.
Karen's on strike seven right now.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, and Bud, I mean, Bud is your typical guy that's going to get killed in every horror movie because all Bud really cares about is getting it on.
Right. He's making.
And and smoking weed. In the break room,
using the little surgical tool to hold it. That I found ridiculous that he was doing that there.
Yes,
I did wonder back to the comment that Janet made. She said that so and so saw Michael Myers in the field the day before. He's like, idiot. He didn't escape until last night. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
When did he? Did he escape on October 30th or the 29th?
I would think it would have been the 30th.
Okay. I was thinking it was the 29th for some reason, but I don't know. I was just I liked Janet having that story, but I didn't like immediately being dismissed by Jimmy because then her bringing it up just makes her look stupid. But there could have been something interesting about Michael being seen in the field, maybe. And thinking maybe there's some kind of foreshadowing, but there was nothing to it. It's almost not even worth talking about the character Laurie at this point because all Laurie is half in and out of consciousness for most of this time, wanting a Coke. So let's talk about these kill scenes. Mr. Garrett,
You
he's.
know, you know, I think we go down this list of kill scenes that you have here, and we rate them on a scale of 1 to 5.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Mr. Garrett's killed. So we're going for a scare factor or.
Just an all around. The
Okay.
scare factor can be a part of it, but just the whole thing. And with some of these, it's kind of a two-parter. Like Mr. Garrett, we know that he gets killed, but we don't see the end result until
Right.
Lori comes upon him later.
I'll give Gary a 3 out of 5. I think there's some suspense there.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
But again, in most of these, I think they would have been
And
better.
was that a
Go ahead.
hammer that he used?
Yeah,
Like a
yeah.
claw? Okay. Got it. Yep. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
I think that all of these, the whole movie would have been better served with more of us seeing Michael around the hospital as opposed to like, if we saw him off in the distance. Or we see the white face leaning in and out, just as opposed to where like we're getting his first person point of view. Anyway, Mr. Garrett, probably about a 3 out of 5 because there were some scares there. Jill's kill scene was ridiculous. I'm gonna give it a 1 out of 5.
That was the hoisting up.
Yeah, where the position of her shoes seemed to move.
I'll give that one a 2 just because I liked Jill.
Can I, now Janet gets a 4 only because so this is really the Janet Mixter scene right here, right? She walks in, Dr. Mixter showers inexplicably on, he's looking at his fish tank and he's got a thing stabbed in the eye. So Janet discovering Dr. Mixter and then Michael Myers' face slowly being lit up
Yes. That's
is
that was a pretty good one. I don't know that I'll go 4, but I'll stick with a 3,
that
like with
was great. Immediately, though, undone by the stupid stabbing of the needle to the eye,
Right, and that's why I would take it down back down to a 3.
which that's the equivalent of the zoom. And then we have and so I and then we have Karen and Bud, which I just the whole thing was stupid.
Yep, agreed. Agreed. I look, I
I
don't
do like
care.
I like him being killed kind of off camera, just in the shadow thing. But the whole thing about it clearly just is a scene to get Karen topless. Because she's just standing there forever fixing her hair with no shirt on for no reason.
And I would also say the bigger thing about this is, okay, once again, it's a hospital. And I'm not dumb enough to think that nobody's ever had sex in the hospital.
Right.
But come on. In the therapy room, in the hot tub, with the door open so she could listen out for the babies.
Right. Is Miss Owl's not going to notice that her hair's wet when she comes back?
I mean, that whole just premise. I mean, look, when you're at Camp Crystal Lake, and you're a couple of counselors, teenage counselors that are breaking away to a cabin on the periphery. That's a little bit more understandable. But you're going into the therapy room in the hospital.
Leaving the
A
door
room
open.
that, yes, I just that whole thing was ridiculously unbelievable to me. And the whole idea of boiling her to death, that just put it.
Yeah, and I from what I understand, like the reading stuff on this, the temperature of that water would have been at least 100 degrees hotter. To do that kind of damage, and also if you read that scene, the scene was actually filmed that water was really cold. So anyway, we can, we kind of get into the weird. Jimmy discovers Mrs. Alves drained of her blood.
Yes.
I feel like Miss Alves is playing a big part in the beginning of her introduction to the hospital. Then she disappears for like 25 minutes.
And then the next time she reappears is she's drained of all her blood.
And she's dead. And Jimmy slips and falls in the blood.
Yes.
That wasn't there.
When he went in.
Yeah. So he walks in, it's not there, but then all of a sudden it's there and his footprints aren't in it, and that's a whole nother thing. And we don't know. Now I'm gonna come back to Jimmy in a little bit. I'm kind of leaving him the side. So Mrs. Olives is so I just don't know why Michael is killing every single one of these people. I just it doesn't seem like he needs to get to Lori. It's almost like he's going out of his way to kill these people.
Before,
It.
it's like he's playing chess, and he very easily could win the game and get checkmate. But before he does that, he wants to remove all of your pieces from the board.
Right. He has a clear path to checkmate, but he wants your pawns.
Right. Yes, and it's very unusual. So do we talk about Jimmy? Or do we talk about the marshal first?
Well, so eventually Lori, in and out of consciousness, gets paranoid. She starts running around the hospital. Eventually, she sees Michael. We're going to get into Michael in a second here. And then she ends up outside in one of the cars that Jimmy's trying to start. And then Jimmy passes out. Head on horn. Clearly giving away the location where Lori is, and Michael appears outside. Okay, so in one version of this, that's the last we see of Jimmy. We don't know what happens to Jimmy unless you go to YouTube and you Google Halloween 2 ending television version. And that ends with Lori in the hospital, sorry, in the ambulance with Jimmy, who says to her, "We made it."
I see. Well, could it also be that in the original version, that this is the point where he has to go into the spaceship to defend Earth?
Possibly. It's a really weird loose end that they never really,
Right.
because if Jimmy was dead there, what actually killed him?
I guess the blow to the head when he slipped in all that blood.
Right.
So, and he was able to rouse himself long enough to get out to the car and then died there on the scene instead. That would be the only thing that would make any sort of sense whatsoever.
Right. So we'll
But
come back.
I don't know.
Let's come back to Marshall, but I want to go to Michael Myers real quick. So Michael, essentially, it's the same mask. I mean, it is actually literally the same mask, but it's not as white because over the years the color had dulled.
Over the years.
Yes, exactly.
The
Here's same
okay.
night. We're like an hour later at this point. But the other problem I have too, it appears that on the mask that someone just combed the hair down, which also gives it less of an intimidating effect to me. Because the wild hair just kind of makes him look a little bit wild. So the mask is the same, but it looks different. That throws things off. And also, so the one thing that I don't understand, and I've read about this, is it was a different actor playing the shape. Michael Myers' walk is like it's like walking a tightrope. It's like he's walking down the middle of the hospital, just foot over foot over foot. And I feel like at the same time, he could be just twirling a parasol over his shoulder. The way he's walking, because it's not very intimidating. So that was just like his walk was so weird. The mask looked weird. I do want to talk about that scene I talked about with you where comparing it to the monster in the Bugs Bunny cartoon, where the orange monster is just shoved into the suit of armor and all the orange hair sticking out. Did you catch the scene where they're? I think it's Janet and that's not Janet. It's Jill and Jimmy They're talking in the hospital room in front of the doorway, and in the back of the room is the silhouette of Michael Myers. But they can't seem to see.
They can't see him.
It's right there.
That's tough. That's tough.
And so instead of making that like a scary, interesting scene, you're just left with like, okay, he's right there. Well, why isn't he doing something? I thought, well, what would they have done if they did notice him there?
Right.
It's just a really, I don't know. I couldn't just figure, I don't know what this movie's trying to do sometimes. But going, so going to has Loomis lost his mind. So let's fast forward now. He's in the schoolhouse. He's there with Hunt. In walks in a woman who I don't recognize for 35 years watching this movie. That's Marion, his nurse from the original movie.
Really?
Because
The
he
one
even
in the
said,
station wagon with him?
yes. He even says, oh, I didn't recognize you, which I always thought was a really weird thing to say. That's Nurse Marion. And so then she comes in, and for whatever these weird, convoluted reasons, the governor has recalled Loomis to Smithsgrove, and he doesn't have a choice. And there's a marshal there; they're driving away. She reveals the court documents that say that Lori is Michael's sister, and then he fires a warning shot through the roof of the car. The marshal turns around and says, take me to the hospital where Laurie Strode is. And they go in there. As they arrive, they walk in, lock the door behind them for some reason. Because the hospital, of course, has only one entrance with one locked door. And that's when Laurie's out there trying to get away from Michael in the one of the slow chase scenes where she's going fast, but he's going really slow. And then the most ridiculous thing ever, he walks to the glass, which I thought was just ridiculous.
Absolutely horrible.
Loomis
Horrible.
shoots him again. He appears to be dead. The marshal walks over, tells him not to touch him, reaches over, slits the marshal's throat. I can give that a 0 out of 5, because I just thought it was stupid, just flat
Well,
out
I
dumb.
mean, it's almost like a parent telling a child, don't do that thing, and the child just like it, not like a teenager rebellion, but like a 4-year-old. Like,
But you
yes,
can't.
I'm absolutely going to reach over and touch this guy who clearly just walked through a plate glass door. So I'm sure that it's fine to check him, even though he's still holding the knife. I'm
It's
not even going to
pretty.
kick the knife away from him.
At this point, Loomis has also committed several felonies.
Yes, agreed.
So then I have written that the shocker from Marion was, that was his, Lori was Michael's sister. I really seriously did not know for years that that was the same nurse. I even questioned why, who is this woman and where did she come from? And when I found out, I was like, oh, this makes sense. The schoolhouse scene was somewhat interesting with the Sam Hain thing and the picture and the knife.
But do you feel like that after however many years in a penitentiary that he went to when he was 6 or 7 years old, that he would have that good, that have handwriting of that quality?
It just didn't. Not much of this movie makes sense. I feel like this movie did a lot for the ether market. Sales of ether went up
Indeed.
35%.
Indeed. Indeed. Indeed.
Arthur,
So
you
you
have
had
some.
a question before you continue on. You had a question on that previous page that you skipped over,
What's that?
about the elevator scene.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which they're in the basement of the hospital, which really looks kind of like a back room of a liquor store, or maybe the lock room of a pawn shop. I'm not sure where they were, but go
Or
ahead.
I would also say the evidence room in any police show.
Yes, it didn't look like a hospital. So what I'm getting at, where it says how did Lori move? So Lori gets to the elevator, right? She pushes the button, she gets in. Door closes. She never pushes another button. Door opens on the other side. She's in the lobby.
Yeah.
Did the elephant, was it supposed to have moved, or was it? I was just kind of confused there.
Well, it was a two-sided elevator, so it had a door on the front and a door on the back. So she clearly went out the back door, but it should have gone up a floor.
At we least, don't see, yeah. We don't see that at all.
Right.
Seemingly, in this scenario, you have the nice welcome center with a lobby, maybe a gift shop. But if you push the wrong button, the elevator opens to the bowels of hell of the hospital. So you got to be very careful.
Indeed. 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 Yeah. So I think that covers everything that you had to say. I mean, I'm assuming we want to say a little bit more about that final scene, because
I hate the final scene. I think it's stupid.
Oh, it's horrible.
In the first movie, when Loomis and Laurie finally get together, it's like it's like a natural coming together of these characters, right? And it feels like this movie unnaturally kept them apart. Only to in one snap moment bring them back together. I hate the idea of her shooting at his eye. She's a perfect shot and shoots both eyeballs.
Right, both.
Which start to bleed, but aren't blown away. You can still see his eyes.
Right.
But he can't.
How long the random slashing and hitting nothing goes on?
And he's using a scalpel that's about 2 inches long. That makes the same sound as a butcher's knife.
Right.
Which, by the way, to John Carpenter, and he'd probably agree with us in that, some of the, you know, in the first movie, when you get a close up of a giant butcher knife, that's intimidating. When you get a close up of a scalpel, not very intimidating.
Right. Right. Yes. So terrible end scene. Yes. Just terrible.
Yeah, just going down the elevator again and just running through these rooms, the ether, the oxygen, the explosion, which is even more ridiculous, is, you know, Michael walking out of that. Clearly now you're looking at a stuntman who's wearing all kinds of padding.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's all bad. So
to me, really, after the first alley scene, everything here is just off the rails. It's not good. I've tried to like this movie, but like I said, ultimately, if John Carpenter doesn't like it, why would I like it?
Right. Yep. That says a lot that he has such strong feelings about it.
The what ifs for me is like, you know, what if the music score was changed? I think it would make the movie a little bit better if you just changed the music, but I don't think it would make it that much better. I think you could reshoot this movie with the same plot and make it more, I think it would be really interesting to make this movie, because what's so scary about that first movie is this stuff's happening in broad daylight, right? Let's make this hospital like Grand Central Station.
Yeah.
Where there's people everywhere and Michael's sneaking around. Like, that would make more sense, right?
So, do you remember in the Terminator, the first Terminator movie, when Arnold Schwarzenegger comes to the police station and he comes to the front desk and he leans in and he says, "Is Sarah Connor here?" And they're like, you know, you can't. Here asking to see, you know, whatever, and they send him away, and he comes back in and he just murders every cop in the station to get to Sarah Connor. I mean, and we know that this is, I won't say believable because obviously it's science fiction, but we know that this is doable because of who he is and what he is. And basically what you're left feeling at the end of that scene is that there is nowhere safe. If you can't be safe in a police station filled with cops,
right?
There is no safe place. And that was, and Terminator wasn't supposed to be a scary movie, but that was a scary realization to have watching this movie. Now, If you're in an abandoned, poorly lit hospital that is staffed by five people, half of whom are high or drunk,
Led by Dr. Mixter himself.
right?
Dr. Mixter, Dr. Mixter.
Of course, that is just a yeah. So I agree with you 100%. Make it a hospital like Grand Central Station and have Michael doing these things in spite of that.
Right. Like the original, like that could have added some element of suspense
Right.
instead of here's three babies plus Lori.
Yes. And
And
yeah. Yes. And only two people who take the job seriously.
right.
And everybody else. So not only are we left like just devastated by all of the killing that has been done, we now have lots of questions about our entire healthcare system.
Yes, that's especially in Haddonfield. That's why premiums went up after this movie.
So
All right,
yes.
let's real quick look at some connections. I think I might know these a little bit better than you. So
You absolutely do.
connections to Halloween 4. So Halloween 4 was a direct sequel to Halloween 2 because Halloween 3, as most of us know, is not connected to the Michael Myers timeline. So Halloween 4 is a movie where Laurie Strode had a daughter, Jamie. Laurie was killed. Michael learns that he has a niece that's alive. That you know he had, so in Halloween 4, Michael and both Michael and Loomis survived the explosion. Which I don't think is clear to us that Loomis survives at the end of this movie.
Right, no, I don't think it's clear to us that he
Right, and
does.
so we see Loomis scarred up and older. And anything with Donald Pleasance is worth watching.
Right.
Which of all the sequels prior to Halloween 2018, Halloween 4 is definitely the best one. So there's one where it's a direct Loomis and Michael survive. I don't need to get in the plot of Halloween 4 right now. Halloween H2O, that erases the timeline of 4, 5, and 6. Picks up at the end of 2 where Michael has disappeared. 20 years later, for unknown reasons, 2 days for Halloween, he locates Nurse Marion's house, burglarizes it, finds the location and new identity of where Lori is. We learned that Loomis survived the explosion too. Halloween H2O is okay. Then Halloween 2018, that's the one that completely undoes everything or just ignores everything else and is a direct sequel to the original Halloween. And like I said, in Halloween 2018 and Halloween Kills, there are very good scenes that take place in 1978 that I think make it's almost like Halloween 2 is taking place within those movies. And I really love the idea that Michael is actually captured that night. They don't give us any explanation. I think an easy explanation for Michael, if they want to make him supernatural, is he's just wearing a bulletproof vest, and that's how he survived those shots from Loomis. But anyway, so it does have connections to other films, but nothing in here is really consequential. Just not very good. If I had to rate it out of 4 stars, I'd give it 1. I might give the first 5 minutes 2.5 stars.
Yeah, I would definitely give this a one. On a 1 to 5. Is that a 0 to 5 scale or a 1 to 5 scale?
I was going 0, I would go 0 to 4.
Okay, 0 to 4. Yeah, I'd go a 0.5 then, maybe.
Yeah,
Because
I might even go that low too.
there were a couple of moments there at the beginning that were okay, and as I said, there were a couple of scenes where I was mildly moving towards the edge of my seat.
Well, a subtitle for this movie could be called Halloween 2 Jump Scare. Because it's of that era, if that's all it's trying to do is get you to, like the cat in the dumpster. That's all it wants to do is it just wants to jump scare you, but not suspend, make you feel any kind of suspense. Yeah, so the viewers out there, I would, what I would do is I would skip it. If you want to see an interesting movie, go watch Halloween 4 next. Do not watch
Yeah.
Halloween 5. Do not watch Halloween 6. Do not watch Halloween Resurrection.
Yeah.
I would then,
Which is
after
it?
that,
Is Halloween Resurrection 7 technically?
I think it's 8 technically. Because Halloween
Okay.
H2O is 7.
Okay. Okay.
Resurrection is garbage. But so I tell our listeners to go see Halloween 4, then watch Halloween H2O. And then watch Halloween 2018, Halloween Kills. Don't even bother with Halloween Ends. It's complete trash.
Okay. So you can finish up with kills and be good.
I think you can finish up with Kills and be good, and just leave it there. There is some overall closure in Halloween Ends, but man, it's a movie that doesn't have a whole lot of Michael Myers in it. It's a movie I just didn't find very interesting. How I just don't I don't like the at the very end of Halloween Kills, there's a direction it takes that I don't care for. And again, it leaves open a question about Michael Myers, and then never addresses it again. And it drives me crazy that they do that.
Yeah, I hate those things too. Okay.
So do not go
So,
see this movie.
right. Yes, we agree with that wholeheartedly. We give it two rotten hot and now burgers.
And if you're wondering why we're not discussing Jamie Lee Curtis very much, she did very little in this movie. She was in a hospital bed most of the movie, and in and
Right.
out of consciousness, or she was just screaming a lot.
Right.
I'm not even going to be critical of her performance. She did a great job with what they asked her to do, which wasn't very much.
Right. And that's a travesty too,
Yeah,
is
they're really wasted.
not utilizing her talents.
Yeah, she
Yeah.
did a great job in Halloween. She did a great job in Halloween H2O. She was great in Halloween 18. And she was great in Halloween Kills. And this movie just completely just doesn't
And
use her.
I will add this. I also felt like they underutilized Sheriff Brackett,
Yes, they
who was a
he's
great
gone.
character in the first movie.
It makes sense that he would go to be with his
Tell his
wife,
wife.
right?
Yes,
But
sure.
yeah, I thought about this earlier too. Like, there could be an interesting subplot there where now he's hunting down Myers.
Yeah. In a sort of almost a para extra legal type way. You
Right.
know, like
Like, yes.
almost to the vigilante point. Yeah.
Almost like yeah, now Loomis, I'm on your side. Let's go get this
Right.
mother,
Yep.
and that
Yeah.
there could have been some interesting twist there.
Yes. So it's a missed tag team opportunity, not quite the same as The Undertaker and IRS,
And Death and
but
Taxes, which could have been.
yes, which should have been, yes, the quintessential tag team of all time. But, you know.
Have you seen Vincent McMahon lately? He looks really weird.
No, I haven't.
Just
I
doesn't
feel
look
like
right
you
to
just
me.
really in a different direction here, but that's
I
okay.
really did, but it's all right.
Yeah. So we are at the 68-minute mark. So is it time for Mike Schmidt trivia?
Yeah, it's probably 60 minutes spent too long on Halloween too.
It probably is. It probably
But
is.
I
But
think for our next few years, I think next we should go next Halloween we'll do Halloween 4, then in 25 H2O, 26, 18, 27. But I think I skipped anyway. We'll go that direction next. We'll talk about
I think you
the
skipped a year there
I
somewhere. I
did, I
don't
did.
know. But at some point, I feel like we need to talk about Halloween 3.
Well, we could do that next year.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So, in the spirit of this, I had to dig deep in the archives. Which of the Halloween movies is Michael Jack's favorite?
I'm pretty sure he's a big fan of Halloween 5.
How is that the new beginning?
That's the Revenge of Michael Myers.
Revenge of Michael Myers. Isn't that one of the ones you said was terrible?
Yeah, it is. That's the worst. The mask in Halloween 5 is just it's the worst.
No, his favorite is the one with the man in black.
That's Halloween 5.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's Michael Jack's favorite.
Now,
So.
are the Nexus archives for our Nexites, are they still in the, they're in the, believe they're in a basement below your basement. Is that still where the Nexus archives are?
I mean, I really feel like some of this is a little bit not for public consumption, but they're actually in a basement below the basement below my basement.
Okay. And in there, there's a tunnel that goes to the laundry room of Richardson Hall.
It's not linear. So understand that.
Which is a scarier place, the basement of Haddonfield Memorial Hospital or the basement of Richardson Hall, where the washing machine dryers were on the campus?
And where that random hole was that went into nothing? Do you remember this?
This sounds right.
It was like exposure to like the underbelly of hell.
Was it so? If I'm remembering this right, was it at the end of the long corridor where the washers and dryers were?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. So, very strange. So I don't know. You know, these are kind of. I mean, probably Richardson Hall is worse because I'm pretty sure that the basement of Haddonfield Memorial Hospital was also the evidence room on Blue Bloods. So.
Richardson Hall laundry room had some of the weirdest furniture. I don't remember this. It was so underneath, it was like a hard shell plastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But underneath mm-hmm. it was soft foam. Do you remember this? They're extremely uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of, you know, and we know Rob lost all of his silk boxer shorts. If you left your laundry down there unattended, you didn't know what laundry you're going to get back.
That's true.
So you had to spend some time down there.
Yeah, you did. You did. Which is why I learned probably sometime either that semester or the second semester that if you just walk it across the street to the laundromat, they would do it for like 50 cents a pound.
Yeah, I learned by doing it by the pound, that was the way to go.
Yeah. So, you know, I would take my laundry over there once a month and for $6.
Once a month?
I mean, you know.
How often was that Hard Rock Tech Cafe t-shirt getting washed?
I mean, once a month? yeah.
One pair of duckhead khaki shorts?
I probably had 7 pairs of duckhead khaki shorts.
I think you did. I think if I remember your closet correctly, it looked something like 7 pairs of duckhead shorts and then 5 white t-shirts piled next to it.
Yes, and probably 3 pairs of Levi's jeans.
I don't recall any kind of winter wear or long sleeve shirts whatsoever.
There were probably a couple of sweatshirts, either plain gray or with some sort of team logo emblazoned upon them. I believe at one point I had a Detroit Lions sweatshirt.
Well, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I think. I also had a, let's see, I had a...
For our listeners, this is usually only information that Patreon listeners get, so you're really getting a bonus right now.
Right, yeah, this is, I mean, I had my Connells t-shirt.
I remember that.
Yeah, I had, I'm pretty sure I had a couple of just plain gray Champion sweatshirts. I had, I'm sure I had something UNC. So, you know, I'm sure I had something Yankees.
Hmm. Did you have a Gamecock sweatshirt?
No.
Okay.
No. I've never worn any Clemson or Carolina paraphernalia.
Interesting.
Carolina, South Carolina, that is. I mean, at least not as my own. I can't say that I never, like, was cold and borrowed someone's South Carolina sweatshirt. Or something like that. I've never had anything in my collection of either one of those.
Do you recall me telling you my dad's comment about Richardson Hall?
I don't believe that I do.
He walked in the hallway and looked at, when I moved down to the end of the hallway in room 401, he looks, he's like, I'm pretty sure this is where Legionnaires' disease began.
What a statement.
That was quite the statement.
That is. That's strong. That's strong. Well, so we are now at the 75-minute mark, and I believe it's time to close out our time in the Nexus. I believe that next time we are due to talk about classic board games,
Yes, we
if
are.
I'm not mistaken.
And I will
So
spend some time getting those notes together.
we will plan on bringing that to you in the next couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween,
Silver
Silver
Shamrock.
Shamrock.
Turn it off.
Over and out.
Turn it off. Turn it off.